Here we are. Welcome to College Game Day. Today on the show, I have Phony Penguin Smitty and Pat with me. As you can tell, a new intro put together with a new song for Game Day. I appreciate everybody get up on a Saturday morning. How's everyone doing today on a Master Saturday?
Man, I'm doing pretty good after seeing that. Man, it got me blood flowing a little bit this morning, early in the morning. It got me moving a little bit, so I'm excited for Game Day. Yeah, I haven't felt this way in a while, so it's great to feel like this again. How you feeling this morning, Penguin?
I feel pretty good. I actually won a game this past week. It took till a week till my ninth game last season. So, you know, I actually feel like I'm participating this season for a change. I mean, that was humbled not long after, but I mean, yeah, it's been a good week.
Yeah, Tim, live music last night to cap off a long week at work. Excited to be here with all you guys to talk about Block 1, which saw some interesting scores, some really crazy highlights, and can't wait to, you know, I don't know if anyone was in here earlier, but we had a very nice, calm discussion about Tennessee football program.
Yeah, I'll recap. Tennessee sucked, and... Pat thinks they're the worst team that's ever been fucking there in college football.
his words were, yeah, they were dog just, shit. He said dog shit.
Dog shit, shitty thing, whatever.
Well, just overrated.
Smitty, you're a big Tennessee fan. If you were to...
Two, just because that's my favorite number.
I think that's a fair assessment.
Okay, so
I mean,
out there with the mid majors is what you're saying.
That's fair. That's fair. I can't even argue that because I mean, we went to the playoffs. I didn't think we should have got to the playoffs. I didn't think we were very good, and I think it showed.
You mean this year?
Right. We got fucking flogged.
That's a tough place to play against a good team, though.
I mean, that's fair, and we wasn't a really good team.
So. Yeah, but the game was never close, right?
Like no.
From the get-go.
No. And what? With Nico leaving, I don't really think we're gonna be I don't know. I guess Vegas, I mean, congrats to him. He's gonna have
so is he gone? Is Nico gone?
Yeah.
Reported this morning. What I've heard, yep. From what I've heard, it's over for him.
Mr. Where's Pete. No, I've heard that he's going to Oregon, but he can't go there right now, so I don't.
Yeah, he can.
There's no way. So they have Dante Moore. There's no way they pick him up.
So in April, with the 16th or whatever, the portal opens back up. He can leave. He can't go to an SEC school and play. He'd have to sit out. And so he can go anywhere else, though, and play. And I'm not sure he'd go to Oregon. The thing is who's going to want him? Like, who's going to want a guy that comes out
and go to the G League in Germany and just put up numbers and then come back and get drafted.
Go to the UFL or something.
He's going to be at Ohio State or USC.
Hey, I was going to say now, USC too. On, that's man. Fine. That's fine by USC, me.
My guy. Let's go.
It's just going to be like Caleb Williams throwing about four picks in the first half.
Yeah, he's going to USC is right. Where he's going.
You know what? Are we live right now? Let's cut out any of the Nico slander.
Pat's got a Nico jersey on already.
Oh, dude, I'll be
Nico USC one. Jersey ready.
You know, it's funny. We don't do last names on the jerseys at SC, so I'll just order the number, and then if he sucks, I'll just be like, dude, it was Matt Barkley's number, whatever.
That's what I do.
Man, so I know we're talking about Tennessee football, and I know we got about 50,000 Tennessee fans in the NDL. But let's move on to another big topic this weekend, which is interesting. My kids have never, ever, ever talked about golf ever in their life. But my oldest daughter's boyfriend is a big golfer. He's a senior. He's going to play D1 golf next year. He was in the house yesterday talking about the Masters and how bad the coverage was. And the couple girls that we have that are in high school said that that's all the kids were talking about at school. Was that the Masters coverage was only on like apps, basically. They don't. And it brought up a cool story because I told them, man, when I was in high school, I remember we would bring in the tube television and we would turn on like TBS and the Masters would be on TV and we'd watch it Thursday and Friday. We'd watch in one of my classes, we'd watch coverage all week. And so do you guys, what do you think about the coverage this weekend for the Masters? I know individual golfers have already come out and said that the coverage is just horrible. Like some people are doing their own coverage of themselves. What are your guys' thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I don't watch golf. I've never played golf, never watched golf. Mini golf, different story. I suck at mini golf, though. But, hey, golf in general, all I know is Tiger Woods. That's all I know.
Yeah, Tim, it's the real coverage on ESPN yesterday did not start until 3 p.m. Eastern time. And they were, like, on hole 7. It's a little weird. You know, like, basically the top guys. A little strange. Now, if you have ESPN Plus, you can watch it all, like all day. They show basically almost every individual hole. You can watch like a coupling of like hole 4, 5, and 6, you know, Amen Corner, 15 and 16, yep. I think it is. You can do that. But the fact that it doesn't come on TV until 3 o'clock and like Scotty Scheffler's already on like hole 7, a little strange for sure.
It's stupid. I agree.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it makes no sense. And just because Masters like to have these rules, and it's really dumb.
I hope they take a book out of the page of college basketball. Go out and sign a multi, have a bunch of different. I mean, there's just no reason you don't have all that coverage spread out between different networks, not even networks, but different channels, right? A lot of networks own several channels, and there's just no reason you don't have multiple golfers on different channels, different groupings. It blows my mind.
I'll be honest with you, though, it's like a supply and demand thing, though. I bet people signed up for apps they normally wouldn't have this week to stream.
Oh,
you know?
For sure.
Yeah, that's just the way it's going now.
I have to re-download the Masters app every single year because I delete it, and then I got to re-download so I can watch it. I'm currently watching Jordan Spieth right now.
I'm too lazy to watch anything on my phone, and so I didn't. Well, yesterday, just SportsCenter stayed on my TV in my office. So normally where I would have put on the Masters or I'd have put on something, but.
Yeah, it's been interesting how late it starts on actual just regular stream television. Like on YouTube TV, it didn't come on till 3, but I have ESPN Plus. So like I've been able to watch it, but like you would definitely, if you don't have ESPN Plus, you would definitely have to pay for it to watch anything worthwhile in the morning.
I'm just excited to fill out my Nielsen rating that I have right now. it's funny story. We get every year, because I filled it out once, every single year we get the Nielsen radio and TV ratings, and they send you like actual like dollar bills with the mail. So like they'll give us like 8 packets because we have like 50 kids, and the kids that like fill them out too, and they get like $2, and then when you get them back they get like $5. It's pretty interesting how the Nielsen ratings work. Anyways, we'll move on. Big Mike's screaming in the chat that he's just excited for college football this morning. And so one of the big things that came out today, as you guys know, every Saturday, the new polls come out. Last week, we were able to talk about, we really dived in deep, Pat did, with one of our guests, Ank, on just how the voting occurs in some of these polls and how bizarre some of the voting is, right? There's no lie. You can go out and check the votes and stuff like that. I was talking with Penguin and Phony before the show about how, to me, this is always one of the most difficult blocks for me to vote when I start really looking at that bottom 10, because how much weight in block 2, some teams don't have any games played, some only have one, some have byes, and so how far do you lose? Let's say Georgia and Notre Dame play each other, Notre Dame loses to Georgia. And how far does Notre Dame fall when some of these other teams have only played one or two games? And so how do you guys think the top 25 look? Like, how does the top 25 look compared to how it looks on your top 25, Phony?
I think for the most part, being week 2, like you said, it's kind of hard. But I think we did a pretty good job when you look at, like, say, the first 20, those top 20 teams being right. I think once you get to that back half, like you stated, of those last like 5, 6, 7, 8 teams, ranking those, because there's some teams that you could put in there and have arguments for and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know, for me, when I'm looking at it this week, there are some teams that just surprised me that kind of got some votes up there, especially teams that, like, lower end teams, maybe like Old Dominion or Sam Houston, that got a lot of votes. Like, I think we put a lot of pressure early on these G5 teams, and they really haven't played no one. I think, especially compared to like those Power 4 teams that might be like 1-0 or 1-1, or especially early on this season, or when we look to midseason, like if there's a Power 4 team that's like 6-1 compared to like a G5 that might be like 6-7, 8-0 or something at that point. I think taking a look, diving into like a G5 team that might be undefeated compared to like a Power 4 team that's maybe only got one loss at that point, I think that's something where we have to look deeper into and kind of see who they played, how dominant they were, and stuff like that. But I think for this week, I think we did a pretty good job. Nothing surprising too much for me. Maybe just a couple of votes. But there are teams that are pretty worthy, and I could kind of see moving up. I know BYU's had a really strong opening to this season and looked really good. So kind of want to see what he does the rest of the year. But outside of that, nothing too surprising for me, though.
I'd love to go a full podcast without hearing about BYU ever again.
Hey, at least they put a lot of weight on their big victory over you. I mean, they shot up to number 23.
That's a compliment, Pat. That's what that is.
Pat, I'll bet you, if we go back and look last week, I bet they probably weren't even in the top 50.
The biggest jumpers. No.
Got to dive down there.
Tim, per usual, that makes me feel so much better that you said it like that, for sure. They weren't even in the top 50. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the 49-42. I outgained him by like 400 something yards and lost.
Good God. What was the ninth round?
Kick return for a touchdown, fumble into the end zone as I'm like literally walking into the end zone. His guy like flies and hits me, fumble into the end zone. And then two pick sixes. Just a fucking, excuse my language, calamity. Yeah, so but it was a fun game. Like, it's fun. Like, you got to laugh at that shit when it happens.
That's got to be tough, though, to game plan for a bunch of like 35, 40 year old men that are coming back on missions and shit. Like, you don't even know who's going to play quarterback. Is it going to be a 19 year old high school star, or is it going to be fucking Joe Montana coming back on a mission?
Yeah. Rumor is the average age of an BYU football player is also the average age of the NDL user.
Yeah. Absolutely. And boy, let me tell you something. Sober virgins watching film, I'll take that over anything else, any kind of distraction.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they're ready to play some ball.
So jump in and say something about the rankings and that. I see in both the media and the coaches poll, you've pretty much got two, it's in two groups. I think everyone, and you can see it because the polls mirror each other. 1 through 10 is everyone agrees on that set of teams right now. Those are all guys that every single one of us can look at those and think, okay, that team makes a run. Those are definitely contenders. And your group after that, the last 15, and then those few receiving votes, you've got people that have either we're not sure about or have shaken our faith in them, or, you know, you're looking at a team that's maybe a little bit on the lower end, or like everyone's top of the mid-majors right now in Central Michigan, that you know they're going to be a good team, but how far makes sense to rank them right now? You know, Chip is, Dr. Bush, you can pencil him in for likely 10 wins easily because what he's shown he can do. Question is this a fringe top 25 team just hanging out there? Or are they worthy of making that push and being on the just behind the very top contender? That's where the interesting discussion leads at this point.
Yeah, for me, with the top 25, everything looks awesome. Love to see Georgia Tech in there with the big win over Florida State. Pretty shocking. Wish that victory would have happened before the BYU loss, so that would be talked about a little bit more. But anyway, so Georgia Tech is the big jump up in there. I want to talk about one of my counterparts here on the show. Smitty at 9 is ridiculous. He should be up around 5 or 4, in my opinion.
Thank you.
I don't understand. The guy literally beat our number one guy in here with Iowa State in the playoffs.
Right.
Just 2 seasons ago, and now he has obviously a way better team. And I understand the schedule is difficult, but you don't rank the team on their future schedule. You rank them just now. So I would think he would be a little higher up. So that was a little surprising to me.
I'm gonna go with Pat on that. I didn't even want to bring it up, but like Shell, I've played Shell, and he has messaged me and said, I can't beat you. I've played D. Kane.
Send it to the voters.
I played D. Kane probably 30 times, and I think I've got beat once. I don't know. I think y'all are like smoking heroin whenever y'all are voting. I don't really understand it, but that's all right, man. 9's a lucky number for me, so I like it.
Well, I thought it was 22.
9's my favorite number. 9's my wife's favorite number. So, like, I'm 22 and 9.
Very confusing. You just said 9 and 9, but okay. So 9. So whose favorite number is 22? You or the wife?
My favorite number. The wife's favorite number is 9.
Got it. Okay. So lucky number 9 there. Yeah, I just think you should be a little bit higher. That's my personal opinion.
I agree.
Yeah. But everything else looks great. Really cool to see, like, coaches at new places. At first, I was like, wait, why is Texas Tech in the title? I was like, oh, yeah, old Wilds, man. Just out there killing it.
Well, to be fair, Smitty, your initial season so far hasn't been very impressive. I mean, you haven't really beaten anyone that matters. So, if anything, the game you've played may have worked against you.
To be fair, I appreciate you playing because a lot of people won't, aka Washington State won't play. The Beefy Cup, hell.
This house is a fucking prison! I'm playing a bullshit!
I second that.
About the Beefy Cup right now, Smitty. Get out of here.
I'm gonna advance in the Beefy because nobody will play, so fuck it.
I don't want to play you again, so it's okay.
Never Phony played me first night. I appreciate
it. I regretted it.
No, you did not.
After that, I regretted my decisions.
Can I tell you guys, hey, I played Smitty the other night, and I hope your head can fit through the door after this comment, but you're the only person I've ever played. I ran a play, just a typical domino combo where you've got drags with outs, deep drags. You covered the out, and then you covered the drag, and then proceeded. I went to throw the check down to the back running the curl, and you fucking picked it off with one guy. I couldn't believe my eyes.
Team.
Oh, dude, it was crazy. So props to you, but I just don't think you're properly ranked. That's my, yeah, I don't know, dude. This guy's a stud. Give him some love.
Who do you think should have been the biggest fall from the top 25?
Biggest fall for me, it's kind of tough based off like it's early on, but I put UCF out just because there's no really big reasons. Just there hasn't been any games played, especially with the receiving votes, and the other teams that were looked pretty good this past block. I just put a team in that place, but I didn't really have like a big fall, outside of like maybe USF or whatever. I know Florida State fell pretty far based off their loss to Georgia Tech. So, but nothing really too much for me.
Anyone else have any other insight on how far maybe someone should have fallen or did?
I mean, my ACC brethren, Sammy, fell down to, what was it? Sorry, 1 second. I just had it open. Apologize. The 23, I think he was 14 or 15. I know he didn't fall out, but him in Miami, right? But the Miami loss is to Big Mike. So doesn't drop him as much as maybe Sammy losing to an unranked team. But other than that,
See, what's nothing. Crazy to me is how, like, the media poll, you look at the media poll, we have Georgia Tech at 25, and then we have Florida State's behind them, right outside of the top 25. I had them both in the poll, but they were both those borderline teams. Is how you rank Florida State at 1-1, and you don't rank Georgia Tech at 2-0, who beat Florida State. Obviously, it's just one of those things where we could probably pick apart other people's polls and stuff for the logic behind it.
My biggest fall was Iowa. I thought he was gonna.
Oh yeah,
I thought he was gonna come in and do some pretty good things, and obviously that was not the case at 0-2. And I had North Carolina, Florida State, and Iowa ranked all pretty high, and then they all let me down week one. So
you got to talk about old shit, Smitty.
I think with the Iowa thing, though, I think that could probably be a case of a coach that takes over a team that doesn't understand the team and the talent and what they do good and bad, because they're a very specific type of team, and you can only do certain things with them. And I didn't watch either of those games, but I can't imagine that didn't play a part of it.
I'm gonna spill a little information that I may have regarding that and say that there is a chance that the coaching staff that is at Iowa kind of walked in there knowing what they were getting into with the intention of challenging themselves and looking to just be a season of growth. So that is definitely the feedback and information I received that, you know, they knew this was going to be a struggle. So a little disappointed, like a but not surprised.
That sounds like a speech from someone trying to save their job right there.
Maybe it is. Maybe. It's hard to say. You did just lose a rivalry game. Or it could be a young coach trying to grow and get better. I don't know. Time will tell what's really true there.
So we talk about it. To give a big shout out to Jiggy. He provided a detailed image that Homie's able to do now with the rankings. So obviously all the rankings are made public. All the coaches' rankings and stuff. And now there's a system in place that actually ranks how the coaches vote based upon how the teams do and as well as how the rest of the league is voting together. And so it kind of ranks how much I don't know. There's probably someone could probably explain it way better than me, but this kind of shows you the images. So it's like Jaguar, the Kansas State coach, he's ranked number one. So, Pat, you must have hit a string with Ankh, though, because he's ranked number 16. That means that he's put together the 16th best poll according to these rankings.
All we were trying to do last week.
Yeah. And if it makes us all feel any better, none of us are in here except for Phony at 18. None of the rest of us are in the top 20.
I feel like if you don't vote Oregon at third, it's going to punish you because I had him at like 10th.
Yeah, I'm sure it does a little bit. And I look at these rankings, and they're all pretty similar. You know, you have Texas and LSU. And I really still am confused at how you don't vote LSU number one. But all these rankings have LSU or Texas number one, and Oregon's usually 3, 4, or 5. And then, obviously, there's Tennessee, Alabama, Clemson, Utah, and Ole Miss right outside of that window. And then you got Lone down there who's just voting all the SEC teams, which I love to see. And so it's just kind of a cool little image and stat. I'll try to get this up each week, too, so we can kind of compare and contrast once the season starts going. And then maybe we'll have a bottom 20, because that'll be really funny. Jiggy could probably post that up here as the worst voters. That would really get Pat some fire. And then we could start having some of those coaches on, maybe correct some of that behavior. So next up, we'll talk about former Smitty. We talked about Smitty and Ole Miss here. Jiggy did just post the bottom. So we got Knowles 96 voted LSU Texas. This isn't bad. It must be pretty close. His back end of the poll, he did have Texas Tech in the top 10. Man, I don't see any.
Probably
really
played him in a few scrims, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. But man, for the most part, none of these are that bad. Like the top 10 anyways. I remember last week's Ankh. We looked at Ankh and he had Washington State number 5. That was a brilliant, brilliant poll. I mean, he was ahead of Smitty and Ole Miss. So. But, yes, Smitty? Next, we'll talk about the front runner for the Big 12 conference, which Smitty and we used to have a lot of SEC foes in there that kind of ran that conference. Who is your front runner, your front two teams that look to be probably playing in that conference championship?
Yeah, for me, I think it's pretty obvious for everybody. Marion County over at Utah, he's just really good all around. I think we saw last week how he's a little more human than what everybody thinks he is. Get a little bit of a scare last week for him. But I think him, he's still really good. Really good team he's got in the Big 12. But I think there's, like, in the Big 12, yeah, I think you can go back a couple seasons ago, it's that competitive nature with four or five teams that can compete in there. You got Colorado and Andy. You got Wiles over at Texas Tech. Bruce Bagel's coming alive at BYU. Steamroller gets some games and he can compete. Penguin at Iowa State's looking pretty competitive this season. But for me, I think Utah, and I'm going Texas Tech. Wiles kind of got a similar team with Iowa. I think he knows how to use this team very well and going to be really competitive with a really good Texas Tech team. So I'm going Utah, Texas Tech competing in that conference title at the end of the year. So, but I think it's going to be a really competitive conference between four or five teams.
I'll jump in and say, I think everyone's pretty much going to agree on Utah. That's pretty much certain. You know, Marion's kind of earned that and what he's shown, and it's arguably the strongest team as well. After that, yeah, I'd agree there's definitely a number of teams that you can talk about, be it from, you know, Texas Tech in there. You also got to consider Kansas State, West Virginia. But number two at the moment, I got to think, for me, is clearly Colorado. Andy stepped in. He's got way more talent than he did last year. And he's done exactly what he should to, just dispatching his first two opponents like they owed him money. And, I mean, I'm interested to see what happens as they get into some of the tougher games of their schedule or whatnot to see just how well he compensates for that defense. But then again, I mean, what this man did with my Owls last season, you think, yeah, he's going to be able to still play decent defense. So Colorado and Utah for me.
Yeah, go ahead, Smitty. My bad.
No, you're good. That's the same thing I was going to say. I think Utah's pretty much set. He's good. Got a good team. I've played Colorado. I've played Texas Tech. Both of them have played me with Ole Miss in scrims, and I would have to give the advantage to Colorado for sure. I think it'll be a very high-scoring game between them two because their defenses aren't very good. But I think Colorado will edge him out. The one that is interesting to me is Steam. I think that Cincinnati team is a pretty decent team, and if he can get the right pieces where they need to be, I think he can contend. It'll be him, Marion, and Andy to me.
Yeah, so little mini hot take. I think Colorado is the best guy in the Big 12 right now. I think he's better than Marion just from look, I love Andy. He's my media brethren, and he wears me out sometimes. But that guy can play. Like, he's good. And I think it's his conference with that talent. You can clearly see on the NDL scoreboard that the games have been high scoring, so he has that kind of team that can keep up with that kind of track meet. And then Smitty nailed it. I think Steam is the X factor. Great player. Sneaky good team. So, Penguin, you surprised me with that Iowa victory. So I think you're the sleeper. Just my personal opinion. That game against Marion with Utah, that'll be a big one. I feel like in the conference. But yeah, I think Colorado is the favorite. That's my opinion.
Some might say after my game versus Smitty that I'm still asleep.
It was a good game for a little while, Penguin. Let's be honest.
What, after the kick and then
I think it was 7-7 for a long time.
It was a one score game at half.
And then right. Smitty grabbed the controller from his kids.
Wow. Tim always with just the below the belt zinger.
At least he didn't forget about me this time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You were here.
Penguin is here today. They Man, for me, Phony, I was really disappointed in your game. I've really just like put some salt in that wound. I was really cheering for you to beat Utah just because then it could have really thrown that conference.
Yeah, it was brutal. Brutal loss.
It wouldn't have obviously affected their conference in sense, but just the people put Marion at such a high place right now. When I really look at this, I do like Cincinnati because of their schedule right now. He only plays, if I'm looking at that conference, he plays Wild. Wild's at home, and he plays Andy at home. Those are his only two ranked opponents he plays this season, Steam. And he plays them both at home, which I think will be big advantages for him if he can get the games in, right? And then, obviously, the people up at the top, you've already talked about Colorado, Texas Tech. We also have BYU up there, 2-0. We talked about him last season. Is he was kind of hit and miss last year. Some games he showed up, some he didn't. Is this the season where he turns it around? I think one of the biggest sleepers in the Big 12 for me is Arizona. Coach Big Brian over there with Arizona. I think he's a very talented team. When it comes to the offensive side of the ball, I think they have some weapons there and stuff. And so is he going to be able to utilize him? He had a big win over Duke in week one. He plays a big matchup, out-of-conference matchup against the USC. And then obviously he challenged himself and he's playing Texas at Texas. And so, and then he's got Marion to follow up with that. So Arizona does play a really tough schedule, but I could see him either upsetting potentially even Utah or Texas Tech to really, and then, I mean, he plays everyone. He plays Utah, Texas Tech, BYU, and Colorado. So that would be my kind of like probably sleeper pick in the Big 12 would be Arizona. Probably not winning it or being in the top two, but he's going to make a team. I think he's going to take down one of those top teams. Anyone else have any insight on the Big 12? Who finishes last in the Big 12?
Oh, that's a good point. I think we look at all the coaches. Oh, wow. That's a hot take right there.
What do you say?
Hot take. BYU. That's crazy.
Just
sarcasm.
Undefeated in non-conference play and then just loses every game in the Big 12.
Stranger things have happened.
Last place.
For me, I don't know. I think you got a lot of really good coaches that joined the Big 12 this year. It's kind of tough for me to decide and choose someone. Like, they're all really solid. I'm gonna go on a hot take. I know he's been really good and stuff with the teams that he used and might come alive, but I'm going Brady Senior at Oklahoma State. Even though I think he's a good coach, I just think there's a lot of really good coaches, and it's going to be a battle. But, yeah, that's my pick would be Oklahoma State.
Mine's West Virginia. I don't think – has anybody ever had done good with them?
I believe they went to the playoffs.
Yep, for season 29.
First season of the restart, yeah.
Your boy Shell made the playoffs.
Oh, Shell.
Yeah, and he made the semifinals.
Damn, if Shell can do it, you know it can be done.
Yeah.
Look at Smitty. He's at a loss for words. Smitty, you played him in the NDL Cup when we came back.
Me?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Oh, Smitty, I love you so much, dude. You're easily
the other Smitty
up here.
It was the other Smitty.
That's how I learned you were worth a shit at this game. I watched the whole game. You're at Toledo.
Yes, that is true. I do remember that now. I do remember that.
Crazy.
That was a long time ago, dude. That was right in the heat of our high school football season, man. Shit, I can't even remember what I did yesterday, much less 7 months ago.
Dude, isn't it crazy playing this game during the high school season is ridiculous. There's just no way to be
in it. My two favorite moments that I remember with you is first ever game day. You and Vegas came on the show live in Baylor. And that's when you guys liked each other. You guys didn't hate each other. And then,
Vegas, I don't know. He hates me. I don't hate anybody.
And then one of my favorite moments was last season on game day at the very end of the show. I think I was the only one still in here and you popped on your webcam on your phone.
Oh, my
I saw your boobs. Yeah. It's just like you rested your boob on the phone. It was pretty cute. Those are my two favorite memories.
Better than showing my man meat. Gosh damn, y'all would have needed something else. Y'all would have needed a damn, what you call it?
Someone call animal control. There's a water snake.
Oh my goodness.
So on the same topic here, we have Coach for Kansas.
How is that the same topic?
Coach for Kansas here. Coach Sudden Blues has joined us on the show. Coach, how are you doing today?
I don't know if I feel comfortable joining the conversation right now. This is crazy.
You came in at the right time, brother.
I don't think I came in at the right time at all, but okay.
Good. How are you?
I overslept. My apologies. I was supposed to be on earlier.
Oh, don't worry. We just talked about Tennessee football to kill the time.
Great. That's perfect. This is my fantasy golf is absolutely over before it started.
Yeah, did you have a few guys miss the cut or what?
Did we lose him?
Bueller?
Did you fall back asleep?
He dozed off.
You guys hear me?
Yeah, now we can.
There he is.
I have Rory and DeChambeau pretty much going right now. That's carrying me.
You made it sound like you were doing poorly. You have the guy in second and second place.
Well, I have five lineups. That's pretty shitty. One out of five.
Yeah, five lineups. Look at you. Some people might call that an addiction. So
yeah, definitely.
You know, Sudden, you've been in here how many seasons? He's counting his fingers and his toes. Oh no.
Last week we had people that love to talk, and then this week we got someone who's mute.
Hold on.
We didn't scare them off. Yeah, we scared him off talking about Smitty's water snake.
We're not going to ask you about your
You can't surprise people with there being math that they didn't know there was going to be math. It's our fault.
Can you guys hear me now? I might have the worst connection ever.
Yep, we got you, buddy. Did you hear the question? I can repeat it.
I'm here. I've been here probably longer than Jeffrey's been alive, that many seasons.
So it's been 24.
I've been in more NDL seasons than he's been alive. Let's say it that way.
Who's Jeffrey?
Hefe.
Gotcha. That's okay. I'm from California. We actually understand Spanish. So what's your favorite NDL season that you ever had that you can think about? And please, I know that you probably lost your connection for the fourth time, but as soon as you come back, just answer the question.
Hey, so anyone enjoy anything fun?
Dynamite guest, Tim.
Yeah. He must have checked out.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
he's back.
Unfortunately.
Are you on your Wi-Fi or are you on your phone?
How I'm going.
Oh my God. How do you people in the South still not have internet that works, by the way?
They're still using dial-up.
It's insane.
I mean, hell, I just got this
last year. I know. This many year, that was kind of the underhanded joke.
It's wild.
Yeah, y'all got to come on. It's 2025.
Anyone that's trying to schedule me, this is why I don't play at work. This is exactly why. It will cut out anytime, and I refuse to play. So to your question, because I don't think you guys heard me, Isaiah Standback, Washington. I don't think you guys remember him. Some might. Fast as hell, quarterback.
Quarterback, I loved. Long braids, right?
University of Washington.
Yeah,
he
gave USC problems in real life 1 year. Very good player, which we'll probably hear about in 5 more minutes.
Okay, I can fill the time. I got a question. Being in spirit of the Masters in football and all, would you rather play football with a golf ball or golf with a football?
Golf with a football.
Football with a golf ball.
Football with a golf ball, man. You'd be able to cream people.
It's football. Like baseball pretty much at that like point.
Put the golf ball in your pocket and just turn around.
Exactly. You don't know who's got the ball. You can do so many trick plays.
True.
You toss it in the old lineman's pocket. You'll be good.
Okay. That's a good. What about you, Penguin?
Because I enjoy the awkwardness of it, and I'm horrible at golf to begin with, I'd probably go golf with a football just for the absurdity of it.
I just don't even understand how you would play football with a golf ball. Like, I don't get it.
I think you just go around and hit somebody as hard as you can.
Bucket. Yeah, what if you do you get to carry your golf clubs with you while you're playing football?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Are you?
Now we're talking. That makes it interesting.
Are you just throwing the ball? Like, do you get to throw it or do you have to hit it with a club? That's where I'm lost on this question.
Yeah, that's.
Because if you can throw the golf ball, like grab it, then I'm changing my answer to play football with a golf ball.
That you're playing the game of football, but just with a golf ball.
How do you get the?
You don't have to hit it with clubs.
Yeah, but how do you get it in the hole? The hole's too small.
Excuse me.
Whoa.
We're back to talking about Smitty's water snake.
No, I would go golf ball. With football, then, if you're just throwing it around. I mean, your receiver, if you're playing wide receiver, that's going to suck. You're going to have some stingy hands for sure, but...
No, you just don't use a receiver. You just use, like, 8 tight ends, and you'll be good. Go back to, like, the 1930s.
Okay. Boy, we really know how to fix this dead air time.
Oh, I think we really lost
that. Good question.
Yeah, so he's gone.
Yeah, he says he's having issues at work. He's at work, and he said he was outside, and it still was bad. The cell coverage. He must work on like some top secret. I don't know where you wouldn't have.
Hey, that's how it is at work for me too. So I feel his pain.
Well, hey Tim, we got another really good segment lined up after him that I can't wait to hear Smitty answer for this.
Okay, so here we go. Big Mike said the show's going off the rails. So Big Mike, this one's going to be for you guys. Everybody in the chat. You guys can interact and talk about, this was a topic that was brought up by Pat, is creating the best NDLer is taking bits and pieces from their game or their gameplay, offensive, defensive, sticks, playbooks, whatever you want to do. And it can be all time. It doesn't have to be current players. We'll let Pat go first here. And you guys can just interject and chime in where you think some of these players may be. Things you would take and kind of put together the best ENDL player.
Boy, this is going to cause some controversy. I can't wait.
Oh, that's look. Someone suggested this topic to me, and I had you in mind when I came up with it. So to create the perfect NDLer, I would start with the user. Okay, and I already talked about him earlier, so we'll just keep it moving. But Smitty is the best user of a player I've seen on defense. I wish I could control my guys like that. My mind moves at that speed, but not my thumbs. So definitely would go with him basically as a user. I would choose Jiggy as, this is going to sound interesting, so like calmness. So he seems like he's comfortable in close games where a lot of people make mistakes. He seems to take care of the football. So I would kind of like his demeanor in games, if that makes sense. Then I would choose D. Canada's play calling on offense. I've played him a few times and really good at when I think he's going to run, he's going to pass and vice versa. And he's clearly shown that, you know, not just this season, but like at Colorado since he's been in the league. I mean, Ball State scoring points there, that can't be easy. So I would go with that. And then as far as knowledge of the overall game, I would obviously choose my emotional friend Vegas. Guy clearly knows the ins and outs of the game. I sometimes wish I had a camera in his house to see how often he actually turns the game on and plays, because it seems to be maybe a little too much. And then last but not least, Just as far as an NDL overall, Sammy, just as a part of the community, like as a perfect NDLer, guy is a class act all the way around. He's doing a really cool sports center thing, which is just like, just in his own personal time, you know, like what a stud, and plays the game the right way and is active and just a all around great guy. So that would be, those would be my choices.
That's a pretty good list there. If I had to build one out, if I had to start off, like get like a PR guy, media relations guy, I think I would go Andy. Ever since he's been in the league, he's been all over the place, come up with great ideas all over the place, putting together some great, like we had then last year, the NIL or whatever it was called, bracket. That was pretty cool. So I think he'd get a lot of stuff done for me. Then going to my team wise, I think my passing coordinator, I think Buckner, I think he does a really good job scheming up pass plays. Then my run game coordinator, there's a lot of guys that love to run the ball. I love what Jiggy does. I think he's very patient in the backfield and knows how to scheme up some really good run plays as well, especially when you pair Jiggy and Bucknut up. I think that's where some good RPOs, schemes come into play. If you have both those on your offense, I think they'd be really, really insane to stop. On the defensive side of the ball, user-wise, I know Smitty's a really great user. I don't think I've played anybody that's been as good of a user than him, maybe besides me, but I think I would have to go with Smitty there. Then defensive coordinator overall, there's been a lot of good guys that's played me really tough defensive-wise. I know Marion's up there, but I'm going to go myself on the defensive side. I'm going to go myself calling the defensive plays and scheming up defense. So I think that would be my selections right there.
Nothing short of modesty on the game day show this Saturday.
Those are all pretty good. To jump right in, it's impossible not to mention Smitty, and I'm going to take not just his thumbs, but his physical body and presence, especially if there's a webcam around, are going to be part of the equation as well.
Thank you.
After that, I'm going to go with the unbridled confidence, some deservedly or not so, on the boards of Marion, just to keep things interesting. Following up that, my in-game presence for, you know, talking on the mic, I'm going to shout out the legend that is Beefy back in the day. And then for my host game, where I break down the game and I'm obviously going to do a recap, I'm going to tap James Carman there, our current University of Central Florida head coach, and the tales he hath wrought in the past are some legendary stuff. If you don't know, you will see this season. And if we're getting into actually the playing of the game on the field, I do have to agree that the decision-making of Jiggy, you got to bring that in there, that he's a very quality strategist. And I think I'm happy with that.
I will go, if I was picking a quarterback, I would pick Jiggy. He does really good in the pocket. He comes up in the pocket. He can scramble. I do think Jiggy had a lot of help with Kansas quarterback whenever he played with him because of the extender. He was fast. I think that he needs a quarterback like that. But the stuff that he does is very good. He's very good in the pocket. He never freaks out. If you get a turnover on Jiggy, it's something because you don't get a lot of them. If I was going with a running back, a guy that's going to run the ball, I would probably pick myself or Hefe. I've seen him run. He runs really good. On the defensive side, if I was doing somebody to call plays, just calling plays, not user skills, honestly, I would probably pick Pat. I know he knows a lot about football. He gave me the most trouble running the triple option, just what he was doing. Stick skills, I would say myself, but I'll give UConn's guy the stick skills. I think he had like over 15 picks one year with his linebacker. And don't matter who you're playing. I know people say that last year because I was playing with UCF. It doesn't matter who you're playing. If you get 15 to 20 picks with a linebacker, that's pretty impressive to me. I know I'm forgetting somebody. Overall player, though, I would probably pick LSU. I would pick LSU's guy, or I would pick Alabama's guy. I think they're the best two overall players. I would say me, but I can't say nobody's better than me, so I have a problem with that. But if I was picking somebody besides me, I would pick LSU and Alabama as just players. I think they're the best two players in the league. I think Jiggy is very good. I think Jiggy's right there with them. Don't get me wrong. And Jiggy can beat them 7 out of 10 times. But I think user-wise, those are the best two users. Jiggy just has no weaknesses. He has no weaknesses, and he never messes up. I will say what Pat said about Vegas. Vegas knows the game in and out. Vegas's problem is he gets in his head so bad. He reminds me of myself about 10, 15 years ago, just gets in his head so bad, especially when we play Jiggy. He's not 35 points worse than Jiggy. No, he ought to be a 7-point game every game with.
Yeah, those are all good ones. That's the thing is, I mean, to be on any of these lists, obviously, just kind of show the type of people that that other people put them as, you know, that play them and stuff. And that's the thing is, a lot of these guys that are on the list are people that have been played before. For me, if I was to put together kind of my ultimate maybe team together, whether it be multiple people playing different positions and stuff, probably the person, like if I was going to have someone talk on the mic and visit with it, it'd probably be Jeff Daddy out there in Hawaii. Always great conversations, lots of fun. Normally he's got a big old glass of wine in his hand.
Great voice on Jeff Daddy.
Yeah, 100%.
I know that sounds weird, but
yeah, and you could probably alternate between him and Mark. Super easy guys to schedule. Great time, you know, Mike, and a lot of fun to chat with on the mic. And so that's what I would probably do for a mic game. If I had to go on the offensive side of the ball, I would probably pick Jiggy to operate the offense, but I'd probably pick Vegas to pick the offense. I kind of like the way Vegas's mind and stuff works on the offensive side of the ball. He kind of understands what works against certain levels and stuff. But I think Jiggy's just a little bit better of a player executing plays on offense. And then if I had to pick someone on the defensive side of the ball, I would actually probably pick for the mind. I would actually probably, I'd probably take Big Mike to execute the defense, maybe pick the plays on the defense. I think he really understands. Most of his games are fairly low scoring. And then I'd probably pick either Smitty or I'd probably pick Chip out there. I think they're great users on the defensive side of the ball. I would probably pick one of them to control the defensive user. And most of these guys that I'm picking to control are guys that have been playing for a while and they're maybe a little bit younger. A lot of us 40, 45-year-old guys, it only takes a half a second of slower reaction to be the difference between an interception and a touchdown. Man, special teams-wise, though, I'm probably taking LSU, Bucknut. He seems to return big touchdowns in big games pretty often. And then same
with Chip. I think that's how he started the season.
Yeah.
The first full snap. Yeah.
Yep. And so I'd probably pick him to operate that special teams. And then was it Rain the other day who kicked like a 56 or 57 yarder? And so I think that there's a lot of elements. I love the Sammy pick as someone that, you know, no one dislikes Sammy. You go into the chat, no one's ever arguing, screaming or yelling at Sammy, right? He's just kind of one of those guys where everyone loves. He's very positive and stuff like that. And so I'm kind of going through the chat here. Fired Up Chip says that he would take me as one of the best tight end users. I guess never really thought about that. He said Pat's probably one of the best defensive play callers he's ever played against. And so I think that there's a, you could probably send a poll out to everybody and a lot of people would have different, mindset on who they would pick up and stuff like that. And so that was kind of a cool topic. Does anyone have anything else, to interject there?
No, just, another shout out like you were saying, Sammy, like no one, I just think of the NDLer I would like to have a beer with the most, and he would be my pick. You know what I mean? Like, that's just a guy you want to sit down and have a beer with. He likes the WWE, which is something that, like, I don't watch as much anymore, but he knows, like, the history of it. And then just, like, he's a good, like, I'd like to talk football with him. Nebraska fans are always the kindest people on the planet. Went to a game there when I was in my 20s, and they were the nicest fan base I've ever interacted with. So, no surprise, you know, that he's a cool guy.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great topic. Love it. Any other topics anybody else would like to hear about, let us know. We can get it on the show for next week. We're going to jump into our game day pick of the weeks this week. The first game is going to be ODU, which is obviously not a newcomer team because they had a great season last year, but a newcomer coach taking on Virginia. Virginia's sitting at 1-1. And then obviously ODU, Old Dominion, not the trucking company. We did talk about that before the show. Both Phony and Penguin dislike them, not the workers, but the company itself. But Pirate Flag is doing some big things over there. I think his opponent's records, though, is 3-11. So the biggest question for them is, have they played anybody tough? Are they going to play anybody tough? Taking on Virginia, I have Old Dominion winning this one. I just think on the offensive side of the ball, they're scoring lots of points, 83 points in two games, giving up 42. I think Virginia's going to struggle a little bit, even on the as a home opponent here.
I'm on the opposite side of the spectrum, looking at both teams. Both teams have put up high scoring games. When you're looking at them, pretty similar offense wise. I think this comes down to the defensive side of the ball and the mismatch on each team. I think Virginia's defense is going to create some turnovers, and that's going to be a big deciding factor, especially when you go back and look at the Old Dominion-Kent State game, giving up 35 points to a Kent State team. I think Virginia comes away with this at home. I don't think it's going to be that close. I think Virginia wins here by double digits for sure.
Well, it's a bold pick, but I mean, that's what you do, Phony, and I applaud that. I got to say, this is one I went back and forth on for a minute there, because you've got both coaches have shown you something so far this season. And Virginia does have a little more talent. They are at home, but frankly, I'm a little bit more impressed with what I've seen at Old Dominion. And we've got precedent showing that a coach that plays well with them, that Old Dominion does have the guys to get it done if the right buttons are pushed. Given that, as much as I hate the inevitable cone conversations I'm going to have on Monday with reps from this company, the freight hauler is going to pack up the Cavaliers and take this one.
Yeah, I got Old Dominion. I was looking at their scores and records, and Old Dominion, I'm pretty sure he was the guy that said that he's got a guy in the Heisman hope for or something. I think it's a running back, and I thought he was crazy, and then I looked at his stats, and actually it was pretty damn good. So give me Old Dominion. I think it's going to be a high-scoring shootout. Whoever got the ball last wins, I think it'll be ODU.
Yeah, I'm ODU all the way on this. Pirate Flag, one of the great additions to the NDL guy, puts out highlight reels for his guy, and you got to respect that. Like, as a coach, someone's just hyping up his team. Clearly plays good football, and I was East Carolina last year. He seems to be an East Carolina fan, and so I got to respect the hell out of this guy. And I'm going to go with Old Dominion by 14 over Virginia. Isn't it a rivalry game, too, a little bit, like, awkwardly enough? Like, don't they kind of hate each other? It's like,
I mean, they are pretty much they're in close proximity, so.
So they, talk about a team in the Sun Belt here, and I just kind of was looking through the schedule and stuff, and I was looking at the preseason stuff that the media teams did, and obviously a lot of people picked James Madison to be up there at the top and possibly win the Sun Belt. And so let's just talk about them for a little bit. Is the fall from the top? I know they haven't started conference play yet, but James Madison obviously starting the season 0-2, played a close game against Hawaii and then got blanked by Homie with NC State. NC State, you know, Homie goes back home, NC State, and a 29-0 statement win against James Madison. I think Coach Jason said that was the first time he had been shut out, and I don't know how long, but a shutout loss in the NDL. That's a big deal. I think that's a bigger deal than, I mean, that getting shut out is a big deal. What's your guys' take on the Sun Belt right now? Like, who's going to win it? Who's going to lose it?
Well, I can tell you who ain't going to win it. James Madison.
He plays Iowa State week four, UMass week five, and then he gets into that conference play.
I think he's still worried about the triple option that UCF had him such in fits last year. He can't get over it, so he's done.
I'm going to go with ODU. I think the guy can play. I mean, outside of the highlight videos that might give you an epileptic shock or whatever they call it, a seizure, the guy can – Rain said it on our episode last week, and I never thought about it until he said it. With guys are joining the league just now, they're probably good at the game. You know what I mean? Like, if they want to keep playing. So I think he joined late, and he's probably a really good player. So I would go with Old Dominion.
I'm going with South Alabama over King Salty there. He's looked pretty good this season. He had a two-point loss to Central Michigan to open up the season and was dominant. He scored a lot of points over North Texas in the next game. I think he's going to be doing really good things. He had a tough team at Akron last season, and I think he's with a better team at South Alabama, and I think he comes way out of the Sun Belt.
I'm going to agree that South Alabama plays for the Sun Belt Conference title, but I think the winner will come out of the East, and it's going to be whoever wins the Old Dominion and Marshall game.
I'm with you there. I'm with you there, Bengals.
I agree.
I'm biased, obviously. Sergeant Lingus is my nephew. I was losing 21-7 yesterday against him in a week two matchup. He threw a pick six, and it just kind of tumbled down the hill from them. I scored whatever it was. I scored all my points in the fourth quarter. Came back and beat him by – it ended up being like three scores. But on the offensive side of the ball, he didn't abandon the run game. He would have been right there. Also in the Beefy Cup, he beat Penn State. Marshall beat Penn State in the Beefy Cup. This is his second season with them. And so I think that he's got a lot of offensive weapons and stuff. And so I'm with you. I think, again, the East is going to put out the Sun Belt champ this season. I just don't see anybody in that West probably competing with him. I do think King Salty will do pretty well there. South Alabama, maybe even Football Kelly at Arkansas State. But yeah, I think James Madison's in for a world of hurt here. Although, man, I mean, he did some big things at Fresno in season 29 with a lower team, and so I could see him kind of making a splash there. He could maybe beat Marshall or beat Old Dominion to really clog up that East, but, man, what a ugly start.
One G5 team to keep an eye on is after yesterday is Tulane beating Nebraska handily, 28-7.
So we're going to jump into our next game. We have number 17, Oklahoma, traveling to number 6, Tennessee on the road. Both undefeated at this point. Both have played really solid teams. And Oklahoma opened up with a rivalry game at Oklahoma State. Dominant win there. I think this is going to be a really good game. I know Oklahoma travels to Tennessee. I know Vegas, this is his second season with Tennessee. But that dude, what he did with North Carolina last season, and I think he was Ball State the season before, he's been really, really good. I think this is one more underrated coach and coaches that don't really kind of get looked at as much as a lot of others. But I'm going with the upset here. I'm going with Oklahoma over Tennessee on the road.
I like that pick. That's a good pick. And I got to say, I definitely want to pick them as well. I know they've got good speed. I know the coach pretty well. And, you know, they're definitely going to be a problem for most teams they face. But as much as I've given Vegas a hard time, he's had a strong start to this season, and they get that home crowd. And Tennessee on the road versus Tennessee at home are two different teams. Tennessee at the home with people singing that god-awful song again and again and again and again will shake even the staunchest of opponents. So given that, I've got to go with what is presently my least favorite state in the union.
Don't tell your wife.
I hate to pick them, but I there's no way I'm picking against Tennessee right here. I think Vegas has been in the Final Four of the playoffs the last 2 years. He's got a good team. That roster, I don't care what anybody says, that roster's loaded. He's a good player, and he's not going to get beat. I really don't even think it'll be close. I think he'll win by 21 plus.
With Smitty on this one, kind of my dark horse, depending on where he gets seated to win the whole thing this year. All he's got to do is get over a mental hurdle of a certain opponent he talks about. I think I'm with Smitty. He wins by 2 touchdowns, and that dude is a great player. It's just, you know, there's levels to it, and I think Tennessee, especially at home, wins big, 17 points, something like that.
Go Tennessee.
That was my daughter Madison making the pick for me. It's really hard for me to go against Vegas here at home. He's had the most convincing win against a rival in VT out at Virginia Tech this season. Started off with a big win over Boise, controlled the running attack both on the road. Home game here. Oklahoma has some weapons, but I think Tennessee's going to pull ahead late, and it's going to be a pretty big win.
All right, well, jumping into our next matchup, we've got Big Ten and Big 12 clash here with USC going on the road to take on the Arizona Wildcats. Both these coaches are sitting at 1-0 on the season, and both have a rather decisive victory to their credit. USC shutting out Bierkopf and what's really a solid Colorado State team, and then Arizona State dispatch Duke 56-28. As I look at these, I mean, it's a pretty good matchup. And we saw the run that Texas and Ole took Kansas State to last year, so we know he can coach. And Big Brian's accounted pretty well for himself in his previous season. For this one here, it's come down to me. I think Arizona's got a little bit more talent, and they got the home crowd, and they've got the Grand Canyon behind them. And that is going to be any landmark in USC. Screw Hollywood, Arizona win.
Yeah, that's another bold pick there. I think it's going to be USC. I think he's playing really good. Played really good last year. Just missed the playoffs, if I do believe. I think that he's going to win. I don't think it's going to be close. I think USC's got a pretty decent roster. They got some really good players at key spots, in my opinion. And the way he plays, I think he'll win, and I don't think it'll be close either. So I got USC.
USC in a landslide.
I'm with you. I think there's too many weapons on the offensive side of the ball for USC. I think it'll be close, though, and I think it does come down to the fourth quarter. I think a special teams play may be the difference in this entire game.
I'll tell you this. If I didn't draft USC knowing Nico was going to show up, I am going to kick my own ass for the next version of the game. I'll tell you that much.
Where he's rated a 92. And
it's karma.
It's okay, Pat. USC is still going to be USC, so they'll be all right. Yeah.
No.
Being USC one, here.
One, two natties before Notre Dame has last 40 years or whatever.
I don't know who holds that overall record between the two, but let me know.
No, for sure. Yeah, before face masks were even invented for the helmet, 100%.
But whoever's on the other side against USC, I'm taking them every day. It could be the Michigan Panthers out of the UFL or San Antonio Brahmas. I'm taking them all day. So give me the Wildcats here at home. I don't think anybody's going to have an answer for Territoria McMillan on that side of the offense. So Arizona massive here. 50 points.
Jesus.
I'm feeling a lot less confident now.
Right? You don't want Phony picking with you. You're in trouble.
Hey, Arizona's another weird team like Ole Miss in the game. Aren't they like an 87 overall? 88?
Yes. They are.
Yeah. And the quarterback.
Carried by their quarterback and receiver.
And they have a lineman that's an impact guy, too. I think he's a right guard or something.
Right tackle, yep.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, they're a weird team because the defense is absolute cheeks. They are.
Well, besides terrible. Their corner. Outside of their corner.
Yeah. The dude. Cardo so
Davis.
So.
Next game, we got Miami versus San Diego State. Two really good coaches. I actually think San Diego State's coach is one of the best coaches in the NDL. Love the way he plays. He took a tough loss to Indiana Phony, which I played Phony, and I will say this. His defense is very, very good. He surprised the hell out of me and had me in a lot of fits for a long time. So, I honestly think I picked Miami on my pick. But looking at the scores, Miami got beat by 21 to Big Mike. I mean, that is, God, 42 to 21. That is, that's pretty bad there. So, you know what? Piss on it. I'm going to change my pick. I think Miami's way better roster-wise. I think way better talent-wise. But I'm going to have to go with San Diego State. I think I picked Miami, but fuck it. Give me San Diego State in an upset.
Not so fast, my friend. Smitty version. I like that. I'm going to go with Miami. Every time I've counted Dealer out, he's just made me look stupid. So that's the only reason for the pick. So Miami, closer than it should be with the talent. But, yeah, Miami by a touchdown.
Yeah, this one's – I think this is going to – this is a playoff game for both these teams. Both these coaches came in with college football playoff aspirations this season. Obviously, Big Z two seasons ago was one of those outside in teams that was borderline argument on whether they should have been in or out. Last season, a couple late losses. And this season, a big loss to Indiana week one. Could they bounce back? Yes. If Indiana wins, out gives them some strength of schedule, but they've got to win this game against Miami, who's currently ranked number 22. Miami loses this game and they're in the same boat. Going to be probably a tough shed to get back in unless they win that ACC. I have San Diego State winning a close one. They played close last season. This is going to be tough on the road for Big Z, but I think Coach Big Z is going to win a close game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think he's got his team rolling after that rough first week for him. When he put up some big numbers against Oregon State on the road. So I think he's got his team rolling. Big Z's a really good coach. I think he's a top 15, 20 coach in the league for sure. So I'm going San Diego State on the road here with the upset.
San Diego State, I mean, I get it as a choice. You know, Big Z is definitely a quality coach, doing good things. But I mean, I also got to look at what's happened last year and the history between these coaches and the history of these teams. And people, I believe Smitty mentioned Miami getting dog walked by the Swamp Donkeys. Well, guess what? That happened last year as well. And San Diego State and Big Z played Miami last year as well. And that game was at San Diego State. And the team that can't win the Pop-Tart Bowl even came away with a two-touchdown victory. Well, this year, the game is down in that rented stadium that's not even on their campus. Given that, Candy Canes are going to get this done, and they'll win by at least two touchdowns.
So our next game, Colorado and Baylor. You have a veteran coach, my guy Corey, against new yapper Andy. I obviously love my guy Corey, but Andy is a very good player, especially offensively. Defense leaves a little bit to be desired for sure, but. Absolute stud on offense. Does a good job. I've played him a few times with Colorado. Does a good job of using Hunter and then using him as a decoy a couple times against me. So a really good player, and I think he wins by quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think that our coach Andy's obviously going to do some big things in Colorado this season. That's no nothing new for Colorado. Great team. Best overall team, I think, in the Big 12. Their offense is, I mean, their defense and offense, all the ratings are just way better than Baylor. The home field's not going to play in at all. I think Colorado wins by 28.
Yeah, I'm right there with y'all. Just the talent disparity between the two teams, especially with the top-end players, I think it's just a big difference maker in this game. So I got Colorado big here.
Once upon a time, the Baylor head coach and Corey would have been, you know, this has been like probably a game of the week and the things he's accomplished. But as we've mentioned here, that Colorado difference makers, Baylor just cannot equal. So, I mean, the Tatanka will run wild in this one.
Yeah, I think Colorado is a top, going to be a top 10 team at the end of the year. I think them being ranked 18 is about as insane as me being ranked 9th. So I've got Colorado. Don't think it's going to be close. And get ready, they're going to be in the playoffs this year.
Well, jumping right into it, our game of the week is going to feature a pair of 2-0 teams. So first of all, shout out and respect to both of these coaches getting games knocked in early. Makes voting and our job really easy. And both of them have shown, you know, their forces to be reckoned with so far. You've got Missouri coming out there, dispatching Western Michigan and App State, both by significant margins, not being threatened at all. You have Georgia Tech coming out there and getting a big gutsy win with a late two-point conversion to knock off Sammy and the Noles. That might be one of the best wins a team has over a tough opponent this season so far, given the fact of, you know, Georgia Tech being the underdog in that game and all. Going into this, I gotta think that Georgia Tech's gonna put up a good fight. And they've got the home crowd behind them. And if you've ever been in downtown Atlanta, been able to see the skyline on a Saturday night down there, it's quite the underrated stadium presence. Given all that, though, I got to say at the end of the day that the wooden canoe people will win this game.
In case you didn't know, everyone, that is Missouri.
I'll be honest with you. I think Missouri is one of the best coaches. I've played him for a long time. I think he's one of the best coaches. I think he probably should have stayed where he was instead of getting to Missouri, but he's going to score points with him. If he can figure out anything on defense, I think he will be in consideration for the playoffs because of his schedule. Just looking at it, I think he's going to win every game. And there's two games that are going to be questionable. I think Alabama would be really, really hard to beat, and I don't know about Oklahoma, but I think he's going to win out. In the other games, having said that, I think Missouri, and I think he's going to score 50 points and maybe give up 30, and it won't be close.
Yeah, Groovy is one of the top five-ish offensive guys I've played in the league, and then one of the bottom-of-the-barrel guys on defense, unfortunately for him. I mean, he's just going to – I've played him twice, and I think he's punted like maybe one or two times in two different NDL sanctioned NDL games. Just an absolute stud on the offensive side of the ball. And with the weapons that he has in Georgia Tech, really nice win, but it's going to be a bit of a reality check this week. 35-point victory for Missouri.
Yeah, big win for Georgia Tech over Florida State. That's already been hit on. I think the only way that this game stays close in the first half is if Haynes Keene cannot turn the ball over. He already has three interceptions on the season. He's going to have to keep the ball to his team. They're going to have to be able to establish the run game, which has already been hit on. MJ Camp, I think the biggest knock against them is probably the defensive side of the ball. But, man, the talent difference between Georgia Tech and Missouri, really favorable for Coach Camp out there. I think the game's going to be a blowout in the second half. I wouldn't surprise me if he ends up winning by 35, and that's only because Georgia Tech, I think, will press and try to throw the ball and throw some picks. I think Missouri is a favorite out of the SEC to represent the SEC in the playoffs. I think they do lose to probably Alabama, but there'll be a one or a two-loss team in the SEC that probably make the playoff, and the playoff committee's got to give the people what they want and face them up against Clemson in round one.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of on the same wavelength of everybody here. I think the talent disparity on this team between the two is pretty big, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I think that both defenses aren't that good. I think this is going to be a high-scoring affair, especially if Georgia Tech doesn't turn the ball over at all. If they don't turn the ball over at all in this game, I think it's going to be a very close game, high-scoring. But at the end of the day, I just think Missouri's just got a little more firepower on offense and gets a win there.
Are they playing after our show or no? Does anybody know?
No.
Okay.
Smitty, are you playing Boston College?
Hell yeah.
Right after the show?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
really?
Yeah, there we go. We got a kickoff game after the show. Smitty is going to go out there and represent the media, the NDL game day, and lay the wood to Boston College.
Shit, I wouldn't say that, dude. I think he's
a very good player. Yeah, dude. I got to play him in a few weeks. Not looking forward to it. He's real good.
Same, but he's the only one that responded to playing. So I just took what
he definitely steps up to the plate and plays tough games.
100%.
Man, what a great show. Great picks. We just had the sweep. I think that was the only one where we had a sweep. Obviously, I'm happy that Smitty changed his pick in that SDU Miami game because Phony was the only one that was with me with SDSU at the time. And so I was a little worried. But anyone else have anything else to say?
No, jump on and stream. I'm about to play Maryland, I think, right now. So let's get it going.
A lot of some good openers, block two. So I'm excited to watch some of these games here. So
get your games played.
After I haven't played the game in about a week, so that's usually when I play the best. So I'm down to play right now, you know?
Hey, don't forget, get your highlights out to Block. He's got a $100 competition out for pictures and videos, both separate. Send those into Block for your games, highlight videos, everything. If you need help clipping the highlights, let somebody know. We can help you. It's really easy, definitely on Twitch or YouTube. And, thanks for tuning in on your Saturday morning. Have a great day.
See you, boys.
Great show. See you guys.